of you guys know Thomas Jefferson as the third president of the United States, the one who wrote the Declaration of Independence and stated that all men are created equal. Jefferson was even one of the earliest men who advocated for slaves. He once wrote to the King of Britain saying that slavery is a cruel war against nature itself, violating the most sacred rights of life and liberties. But the thing is, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves himself. In a letter by a slave known by the name of Isaac, Isaac said that Thomas Jefferson would always have guests over for dinner every day. There was always between 20 to 40 guests each dinner. While Jefferson and his guests ate and had a good time, the slaves on the bottom story of the house were busy at work. The guests couldn't see them or hear them. Food would magically appear, and when the wine ran out, Jefferson would just put the wine bottle in a container and a new bottle of wine would appear. But this was all work of the slaves down at the basement. Whenever Jefferson wanted something, he would do nothing but turn a crank and a slave would come running to bring him water or fruit or anything he wanted. But this is nothing for the plantation of Monticello on the mountain. Monticello first started out as a plantation that was dedicated to tobacco, something that is repetitive work and needs strict supervision. But as time changed, Jefferson transitioned to wheat, which needed skilled workers in different areas. Less slaves were needed to grow wheat, though. This is how the nail factory came to play in 1974. Since there was a surplus of slaves, Jefferson found different things for slaves to do, such as smiths, cooks, weavers, carpenters, and other things of that sort. The nail factory was one of the greatest of its time. Slaves were expected to make 10,000 nails a day. Now, this isn't an easy job because all of this was done by hand. If people made 10,000 nails a day, they got special uniforms and extra food rations. But if the slaves made less than 5,000 nails, the slaves would have to work in rags, be whipped, and their food ration was cut. The nail factory was very profitable and it made Jefferson a lot of money. You would think conditions for slaves got better because of the money they were making for Jefferson, but in fact, things were the same. The grocery bill was $500 yearly, which is how much the plantation made in just 2 months. Nailers couldn't get wages, but if they did, it was a privilege, and the most someone could earn was 80 cents in 6 months. Slaves weren't living the luxury life like Jefferson was. Slaves lived in clusters of cabins. Someone who once visited his house would later say that it looked poor and uncomfortable. Some didn't even have a cabin to sleep in. They slept where they worked. Work began as early as the age of 10. The enslavement of children brought Jefferson a huge amount of profit. Children would work 6 days a week. Randolph Jefferson, Jefferson's brother, once reported to him that the plantation was going well because the small ones were being whipped. This was also found out when 500 secret pages of Jefferson's farm book was found and stated that children were being whipped to get them to work. In a letter to George Washington, Jefferson shared his 4% formula. Because Jefferson had found out that he was making a 4% profit yearly just by the birth of slave children. Jefferson said that slaves were the second most valuable thing, land coming in first. As Jefferson realized that he was earning profit off of the children, he began changing the way he did things. An enslaved woman named Maria petitioned for her own cabin with her family. Jefferson gave her a cabin once he heard she had had a child. This may seem like a good thing, and it did seem so to the slaves, because some even described him as kind. Jefferson was the type of person who didn't like violence or punishment. He was very patient, and his form of punishment was sending the slaves further down south. But this wasn't good for the production of his business, so he hired overseers who were cruel and punished slaves for the slightest things. A common overseer that was known on the Monticello plantation was Gabriel Lilly, a man who was harsh but got the work done. Once, there was a slave who was very sick on the plantation, but Lilly didn't tolerate this. On that day, Lilly whipped the slave 3 times, he did this so hard that the slave couldn't raise his hand up to his head. This brought upon a lot of chaos between the slaves and the overseers. Many slaves ran away and some succeeded. Some began stealing, others tried to poison their overseers like the slave John tried to do so. And others even tried to kill them, like the 3 enslaved African Americans who tried to stab their overseer to death. As chaos happened between the adults, there was also trouble with the young slaves of Monticello. A boy named Brown Colbert stole Carey's tools as a prank. Colbert knew that Carey would need his tools to get his job done, but it was all fun and games until Carey attacked Colbert and hit him on the head with a hammer. Surprisingly, he survived. But when this was reported to Jefferson, he wanted to make an example out of Carey and sold him away. But the thing is, any other slave owner would have also punished Colbert since he was the one who had started all of it with the prank, but nothing happened to him. Why? Because he was a Hemings. Now, when talking about Jefferson and slaves, the Hemingsons are always mentioned. Many of you guys have heard of Sally Hemings, but this family goes way back to Elizabeth Hemings. Elizabeth Hemings was the daughter of an Englishman and an African woman. She was owned by John Wells and his wife, which is how Martha, Jefferson's wife, is born. Elizabeth gives birth to 5 of John Wells' children. Martha then marries Jefferson and he has possession of all the Hemingses and they move to Monticello. Since the beginning of this family, Hemingsons have been of lighter skin color than the rest of the slaves. But it didn't change the fact that they were slaves, since their mother was also a slave. Since they were of lighter color, they were preferred and had special privileges. Within the slaves, there was a hierarchy, and the Hemingses of Monticello were on top of it. They were the elite household staff. They received special privileges. They were close to their masters, had more clothes and food rations. The ones lowest of the hierarchy received the most minimum of food rations and clothing. Jefferson had a bond with some of them, and their work was displayed through his house. Jefferson would even give them opportunity to do things, but this was only because of their lighter skin tone. It is also known that Jefferson had intimate relationships with Sally Hemings, his wife's half-sister. This created tensions among slaves and also jealousy because of the status of the Hemingses. If Jefferson treated them so well and had good bonds with them, why didn't he just free them? It turns out that Jefferson didn't believe in a multiracial society with 3 African Americans. He believed it was impossible. While George Washington freed his slaves, it is said that Jefferson only freed 7 in his will, which were the Hemingses. The rest were sold to different slave owners and the Monticello slaves were dispersed. Even though slavery has come to an end, people don't know how much slavery was used. Yes, it was used in mass amounts to get things done either because of religious beliefs that whites were superior or simply because slavery was better for their economic profits. As known, slavery has been a big issue and controversial topic since the birth of America. Many people have fought to keep slavery or to abolish it. For example, the Civil War began because of this issue. One of the earliest people who advocated to end slavery was the slaveholder himself. This is something important because it is seen that one of the greatest presidents contradicted his words with his lifestyle by having slavery on his plantation. This is relevant today, not only on politicians, but us people as well. Politicians can lie, scheme, and twist things around to persuade people to get on their side. For example, Nixon and the Watergate tapes, or when Clinton lied about his personal life. And there are many other examples we may refer to. But what about us? Do we say or share something on public, but then do or think otherwise? Are we just a world who believes in changing the environment or advocate for rights, but then contradicting it with actions? It's our life and decision to do whatever we want, but let's not be hypocrites either. Thank you.